The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, it's a pleasure, as always, to go down to earth on a Wednesday. Our resident environmental scientist, Dr. Cara Gustenberg, rejoins us. And today, we want to talk about polar bears, because apparently they've invaded a Russian town. What's this all about, Cara?
Well, this was a story that broke last week, but since December, this town of about 3,000 people deep in the Arctic Circle, northernmost part of Russia, has declared a state of emergency. And actually, Russia's defense ministry has come in to try and protect these 3,000 people from over 50 polar bears that are coming into the town basically because they're hungry. And the sea ice is taking a lot longer to form this year than it has in the past, so the polar bears can't go out on the sea ice and hunt their usual diet of seals. And so they're coming into the town looking for food.
Whereabouts are we talking about here?
So we're talking about an archipelago that is on quite far into the Arctic Circle along the same latitude.
We're talking North Russia, is it?
Yeah, north-central Russia. And it's on the same latitude as Svalbard. It's not far from there and northern Greenland. So 3,000 people in there. I mean, that's a significant number of people. And actually, they don't feel that they can go outside right now. They're not sending their children to school. So it is causing a big impact on the people.
So what was a shoot-to-kill response?
No,
Putin?
Actually. So,
no?
So surprisingly, I learned this week
that
Russia, Russia has protected polar bears. They're one of the first countries to protect polar bears, and then they stopped hunting polar bears and declared them as protected species in the 1950s. And actually, the one thing that during the Cold War that the U.S. and Russia agreed on was the protection of polar bears. So in the 1970s, they created an international agreement to protect polar bears in all five countries in which polar bears appear.
But I would have thought, a bit like, because we had this story with black bears, mm-hmm. particularly the time of the shutdown in America in mm-hmm. recent weeks, yeah. that there was hold areas beside national wild parks where the rubbish wasn't collected.
Right.
The bears were appearing and they were a hazard, like a genuine hazard, because there was no wildlife rangers to look after the situation.
Yeah.
I would say, if you met a mean and hungry polar bear, you'd come off worse.
Want to watch out, yeah. And I mean, generally polar bears stay away from people. They're quite cautious. They're not interested in attacking people, but now, of course, as the bears are hungry and they're coming into town,
would they kill you?
Now, they have been known to kill, but the killings are rare. Unfortunately, there was one last July where a man and his two children came into contact with one in Hudson Bay and the man was killed, but that's the only reported killing by a polar bear in the last 10 years.
But are they carnivores? Would they eat meat?
They're hyper carnivores,
yeah.
But they would prefer to eat other things than humans. But if they're hungry, they will. I mean, they need 12,000 calories a day because they have to store up energy. Now, a seal is what they usually eat, and that will give them about 8 days of energy, so they can live off that seal for 8 days.
So what has been the Russian Defense Ministry's response?
Well, so far, they're trying to use non-lethal means, and they've brought a group of scientists in to look at trying to trap the animals and move them to safer locations. But really, what they're hoping is that the sea ice comes quickly, and then the polar bears will go out and hunt on the sea ice. I mean, right now, there's an open dump that these polar bears are congregating in, and they're eating all sorts of things. They'll eat car batteries, they'll eat plastic. So really, they would prefer to go out and eat the seals instead, I think.
So I suppose your perspective on all this, because of climate change, because the Arctic is melting, that we should all give the polar bears a break. Is that it?
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't. Their proposal is that they're going to build an incinerator to deal with this open garbage to try and discourage the polar bears from coming in. But of course, as sea ice takes longer and longer to form and there's less and less Arctic sea ice, this is going to continue to be a problem. Now
there's no quick fix on the sea ice, is there? Like if we're talking about, as you've repeatedly told me, 2030, 2050, we're going to go up a half a centimetre or a centigrade degree or one, like that's going to get worse, surely, in the short term.
In the short term, yeah, we've locked in a degree of warming, but of course it will get worse and worse if we keep pumping out greenhouse gas emissions. So the sooner we act, the more likely we preserve these things like polar bears. And I think the important thing about polar bears is that they're a keystone species. Or they're an indicator of problems going on in the Arctic in general. So obviously we can't monitor every species in the Arctic because we don't have the resources, but a lot of monitoring goes on with polar bears because if there's a problem with them, it indicates a problem with all species in the Arctic. And so I think the more we see these incidents of polar bears coming into towns, the more we should be concerned about what's happening to the Arctic in general.
Now, you said the Russians had you know, declared them an endangered species. What is the story in terms of, are we down to our last polar bear or what?
No, they think there's about 20 to 30,000 polar bears in total.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, and many of them are stable populations. So they're declared globally as having vulnerable status. So if you look at the status of between extinct and a species of least concern, vulnerable is about in the middle. And what that means is that they think in the next 30 years there'll be about a 30% decline in polar bears if we do nothing to protect them. So they're not about to go extinct, but they're certainly a species we should be concerned about too. And I don't know if the polar bear has been the iconic species for climate change. I don't know if that's actually been a help or a hindrance in terms of the climate movement, because we think about climate change as just a problem with polar bears, but of course it's not. And the polar bears aren't even the most threatened species that we should be worried about.
And is there any others that are affected by sea ice in the same way? Any other species?
Well, I mean, it's amazing what is affected. I suppose the polar bears are affected most by sea ice because they can't outrun their prey on land. They can't outswim their prey. So they depend on this idea of still hunting, where they sit on the sea ice and they wait to see seals breathing up air bubbles, and then they pounce on them and they crush their skulls.
I was watching a documentary on BBC the other night, and it was The Walrus. The programme is about the walrus. And they were really densely packed on the shoreline, the walruses, and it was like, you know, candy sweets for a kid, you know what I mean? It was a turkey shoot for the polar bear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, seals and walruses are really dependent on sea ice too. But I suppose what struck me when I was in the Arctic in 2008, that even humans and these Eskimo and Inupiat communities are incredibly dependent on sea ice for their way of life and for their hunting and fishing. So there's a whole human culture that's about to cease to exist as a result of sea ice.
And do I take it that the same issues arise in the Arctic as the Antarctic? The Arctic is the North Pole, is it?
Right.
And the Antarctic is the South Pole. Are the very same issues of melting and polar bears applicable to both of those continents?
No, actually, it's interesting that we think of the Arctic and the Antarctic as the same, but they're very, very different. So the Arctic is continents surrounding an ocean, the Arctic Ocean, whereas the Antarctic is the opposite. It's a continent, it's a landmass surrounded by ocean. So actually what we worry about in the Antarctic is things like sea level rise. So the ice in the Antarctic coming off of the land and ending up in the ocean contributes to sea level rise, whereas the sea ice in the Arctic actually doesn't contribute to sea level rise because it's already sitting in the ocean. So it's like an ice cube in a glass. When it melts, it doesn't displace any more water. And of course, polar bears are unique to the Arctic. They're not in the Antarctic. And that's perhaps why we see many more seals and penguins and things in the Antarctic, because they don't have the polar bear as a predator.
Right. And am I wrong in thinking this is good news for the seals? Do you know what I mean? Like if you're eating a seal every day, every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the polar bears are definitely keeping the seal populations in check. But of course, the seals are dependent on sea ice too for their nursing and their habitat. So if the sea ice goes away, they're more vulnerable too because they're more exposed. So what
is the take home message for someone who's listening and cares about the polar bear? What could or should they be doing apart from the general message about global warming?
Well, I think we can expect to see more of these incidents of hungry polar bears coming into towns and looking for garbage. And as we see in Russia, the solution has been to try and build an incinerator, whereas this is going to be a long-term problem of hungry polar bears. We perhaps need to be thinking about how we provide food sources for these polar bears if they don't have sea ice to go out and hunt, if we were really serious about protecting them.
What could that involve?
Well, maybe more habitat that they maybe it's fake sea ice. I don't know. They need some habitat that they can go out and hunt on, or else they will end up coming in to towns. But, you know, probably the first thing we should be doing is rapidly reducing our greenhouse gas emissions to try and address the problem.
Okay. All right. That's our down-to-earth slot for today. Thank you very much. You were in Brussels last week, were you? What was going on there? All the eco-warriors working together?
Friends of the Earth Europe was a staff of about 36 people, and I chair that organization at the moment.
And so is that lobbying?
Yeah, and very much looking at the future of Europe and the shrinking space for civil society and TTIP, which is back on the agenda again, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. So lots of issues going on in Brussels. That that demand our attention from an environmental point of view.
Okay, so it's not just the polar bear that Cara has her eye on. My thanks, as always, for that education about polar bears, how their habitat is changing, and how there are 52 of them are rummaging through this town in northern Russia, and there's a state of emergency. My thanks, as always, to Dr. Cara Gustenberg. We will have another Down to Earth slot next week, and if you have any queries for her, don't hesitate to get in touch on the text line 53106, or you can email thehardshoulder@newstalk.com.